Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the greats check, too, okay? We'll get the punch on 3rd and short.
Patriots Playbook.
Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast feed over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
We're back inside the playbook on Patriots.com radio. I'm John Rook. Pats are 9-3 right now. They're the division champs in the AFC East once again. I don't know if that sounds good to you, but it's never a bad thing. What is it now, 10 years out of the last 12 that the Patriots are AFC East division champions? Keep in mind that you should never, ever, ever take winning for granted in this league, especially with the parity such as it is. And I know that one of the numbers that I saw from our good friend Kerry Byrne and Cold Hard Football Facts that I will repeat here off the top of the show, but just realizing where the Patriots have come from over the course of the last now 19 years that the Crafts have owned the team, 14 division titles, right? Okay, since 1970, which was the AFL-NFL merger, for those that aren't old enough to recall that. If you're 40-something, you probably do have at least some knowledge of it. But since the 1970 AFL-NFL merger, Patriots have 14 division titles. The Dolphins have 13. And, of course, back around the time of the merger, if you're old enough like me, you can recall this, Patriots are horrible. Just terrible. Terrible. A non-entity in the NFL. To the point where it's kind of like, oh, wow, they got a team in New England? I mean, nothing happened until, started happening until the mid-70s to the late-70s. And then, of course, you don't get into a Super Bowl until 85 anyway. But all I'm saying is that the Patriots were patsies. And if you don't know that, just go look in your record books. Go Google it. You'll find out how bad it really was around here. And the Dolphins dominated like few other teams in the NFL. There really were two or three dominant teams in the NFL back in the 1970s. You had the Miami Dolphins, you had the Dallas Cowboys, and you had the Pittsburgh Steelers for the most part. That's pretty much it. The Patriots weren't even in the conversation. And so for the Dolphins to have dominated the way they did in what was then the AFC East, to have 13 division titles since the time of the Patriots, now to surpass them, only speaks to the dominance that has transpired here in Foxborough over the last now 12, 13 seasons since Bill Belichick has been coach and the 19 years since the Crafts have owned the team. It's a remarkable accomplishment. You know, Sunday was one of those, as the players like to call it, T-shirt and hat days. And while most of the players either kept it in their gym bags or their travel bags, a few of the players who obviously haven't been with New England that long certainly donned them and put them on. And we saw that on the front cover. We see that on the front cover of PFW this week. December in New England. New England AFC East Division champions. For some, it's a treat. For others, it's all about going about and doing your job. I don't want the fans, though, and I don't want anybody who's listening to this program who follows the Patriots, don't take it for granted. Because, you know, it really wouldn't take much to go back to the way things were in the early 1970s. It just, you know, the merger into the NFL saved the Patriots the first time. And I think those that can recall this will admit that. When the AFL and the NFL merged back in 1970, and the NFL decided to take in the fledgling American Football League and develop the American Football Conference, the AFC, which we have today, at the time, New Englanders, Bostonians, they knew that this was a lifeline. You know, the Sullivans owned the team. The team was barely scratching through, but Quite frankly, the NFL loved and wanted to keep the Boston market, wanted to keep a pro football presence in Boston, because if they don't include the Patriots, then football dies here, and there's no question it would have taken years for it perhaps to come back. I would imagine we'd probably have it by now, but it just wouldn't be the same. So that was obviously when the Patriots were saved the first time. Patriots got saved a second time by James Bush Orthwine deciding to bring in Bill Parcells and then, of course, selling the franchise to the Kraft family. Otherwise, they would have been the St. Louis Mustangs. And that is a part of history. You can see it in the Hall of Patriot Place. We were talking about that with Eric Scalabino a little bit last week, in fact. So that's part of the history of it all. I had to start today because it's going to get lost. I mean, there are bigger fish to fry here. There are bigger goals to attain. There's just so much more left out there. This team has goals left in front of it that certainly seem achievable, whereas maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago did not seem as achievable. And I think you and I can both admit to that now. Some of you will say, oh, I knew all along. I knew all along. Well, actually, I did not know all along. And I think we all realize that the way that this defense was 5, 6 weeks ago, there wasn't really any thought to an overwhelming amount of improvement over where this defense was a year ago. And that, to me, was just a real hangover. I mean, it's kind of like, wow, we've gone all this way. We brought in all these people, and the performance level just isn't any better. And so I had begun to start thinking, well, it's time now to start pointing fingers at the coaches and the talent evaluators in this franchise. Number one, they're not bringing in the guys they think they're bringing in. And number two, the guys that they are bringing in, they're not coaching up enough. One of my biggest nitpicks of the entire year. As long as it is Nitpick Tuesday here. But I think we've seen that somehow this team has begun to, the defensive side of the ball has begun to gel, even in the absence of some of the injuries they've had in the secondary, even in the absence of Chandler Jones, who I think most of us expect back on Monday night against the Texans. Don't have that confirmed, but I think we just kind of feel like that could happen. And we'll, I'm sure, spend the rest of this week talking about that at some point. The solidification in the secondary by adding a guy like Aqib Talib. It hasn't hurt. It certainly helped. I mean, is he a cure-all? No. But I think we've also seen him make enough plays on the ball in a couple of weeks now where it's kind of like, well, you know what? He certainly adds to the depth quality. And then it allows other players to come up and try to get up to his level. It also allows, you know, guys like Trevor Scott, knowing that those guys are back there and actually can cover. I mean, Trevor Scott had a coverage sack on Sunday against the Dolphins, in case you missed it. He had a coverage sack. Fact of the matter is that Ryan Tannehill stood back there again. Nobody was open. And I believe it was Trevor Scott's second sack. I'm just trying to remember this off the top of my head. That was a coverage sack. I mean, Scott made a great play on it, but the fact remains is that he'd never gotten to him if the defensive secondary doesn't cover. Step in the right direction. Small steps. We're beginning to see some solidification, some gelling on the defensive side of the ball. Now, let's go to the other side. Because the Patriots did only score 23 points this weekend, and so you could certainly say one huge nitpick from Sunday has to be the play of the offense overall. And I can't argue that point. Kind of gone through some of the numbers. I've looked through the play-by-play. I've seen a little bit of the tape in watching some of the highlights again. And frankly, I'm curious as to why the Patriots have stopped targeting Brandon Lloyd. Maybe he just hasn't figured into the offensive equation or the game plan overall, but it seems like they are moving further and further away from Lloyd as opposed to relying on him. They're relying more on Wes Welker, less on Brandon Lloyd, more on Aaron Hernandez, simply because they have to. There's no Rob Gronkowski back yet. Looks like they tried to go to Daniel Fells a couple of times. Didn't work out. He had a big holding penalty, I know, that seemed to disgust most of the Patriots' sideline in the game on Sunday. And so Brady's kind of like, screw it. I'm going to Welker. And I also wonder, and again, this is just the conspiracy theorist in me, but I also wonder out loud here, how much Tom is on Wes's side in terms of trying to get a new contract for him. I think we all know that, and I've said this many times throughout the course of this year, and I will still stand by it because I just don't see any evidence to the contrary just yet. I don't think Wes Welker will be here next year. And I think we all realize he's in a contract year. The Patriots could franchise him again. It would cost him about $11.5 million for next year for a one-year deal. That wouldn't stink. It might be, I don't know if the Patriots really want to spend the cap money on that particular instance. I really don't think the Patriots have any interest in signing him up for three more years, although I'm not sure what else Welker can do at this stage of the game. He's only been one of the, if not the, top receivers in the game over the course of the last 5 years that he's been around here. He's tied Jerry Rice for number of 100-yard receiving games. Are you kidding me? He's going to break that record before. He's going to break that record in a Patriot uniform. Think about that for a second. If there was ever somebody who deserved it, it would be Wes. But when the Patriots were driving late in the game on Sunday and Brady found Welker in the end zone and the ball went right through Wes's arms and he dropped it and they had to settle for the field goal that almost ended up costing them, or certainly put Miami in position to try an onside kick to go for a tying touchdown, didn't it? Wes catches that ball. It's all a moot point. And earlier in the season, when Wes wasn't being targeted as much in this offense, we all thought he was done. We all thought it was a penalty. We all thought it was a way to punish Wes for his not signing a contract offer, or we all thought it was the Patriots beginning to move away from targeting 83 in the offense. Which really was kind of ridiculous. Because if a guy's able to play, and I think Bill Belichick has certainly been as steadfast with this particular aspect of his philosophy as much as anybody else. I only coach the players that are here, right? How many times have you heard him say that? Well, he is definitely coaching the guys that are here. You can argue that some of them not very well. But if a player's here and a player's eligible and a player's able to go, he's healthy enough, he's in there. If he can help the team. So I'm wondering now, though, if maybe Brady has lost confidence in a guy like Brandon Lloyd, who we've seen kind of, as he goes, you know, he's great on the out routes. There's no question about it. That's where he excels. Got great touch with the football. But we've also seen when he catches the ball and he's got the ability to run, he goes down quickly. It's almost like he turtles a little bit. He tries to avoid contact. Brandon Lloyd should have more yak. He has basically zero yak yards after the catch. And so I'm wondering now if the Patriots philosophically have lost confidence in Lloyd and have decided to throw more toward the tight ends and Wes Welker because they know they can get the yak. And they've proven it time and time and time again. Is that the case? You think Tom's trying to help Wes, you know, get his record again, so he can certainly make as strong a case as anybody for a new deal, and even if it doesn't happen, well, then maybe it'll help Wes get him a contract somewhere else. They are friends, after all. And quite frankly, if I were the quarterback and my receiver was Wes Welker, damn right I'd try to help him. Damn right I would. I absolutely would, because he's helped me. And even with the few drops that we've seen this year from Wes, which are uncharacteristic, but yes, they have occurred. So Welker detractors could say, well, you know what? He is 31. We did see some penchant for dropping footballs. Hello, Super Bowl last year. That kind of started it all. And so maybe he's not quite worth the dough that he can command. I understand that argument. And again, I will reiterate here, I don't think the Patriots will pay him. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. Because if they figure out a way to work under the cap, Welker back in and find a deal where they can get him done for, say, 2 or 3 years, and my guess is it'd probably have to be three because that would sign him up through age 34, and that would probably be his last big payday. Think about the offensive weaponry that you have at your hands coming back again next year. This team won't miss a beat. And again, Julian Edelman was in a boot on the sideline and crutches in the second half, which is what has apparently precipitated the signing of Dante Stallworth back to New England, although an official word has not yet come from the team. But several sources are reporting that Stallworth is going to be back with the team this week. And that would have certainly lead to the credibility that Edelman's going to be gone for a while. And if Edelman is your Welker replacement, then how serious is it? And can they really rely on that next year? I'm just throwing out topics here, and I'm throwing out, you know, things to think about. What resonates with you today? Where is your biggest nitpick from Sunday? Do you have any? I mean, after all, again, these guys clinched the AFC East Division Championship for the 10th time in 12 years. Tom Brady has become now the first quarterback in NFL history to have 10 division titles to his credit. That's pretty good. That may not happen again for quite some time. But yet we're still going to nitpick. We'll still nitpick over it because we always do. It's what New England fans do. It's what Patriots fans do. It's what we do. We can find ways to improve. Here's how you nitpick. Webradio@patriots.com, the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. Telephone number is on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Again, the Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. And then via social media, you can hook me up and hook up with me, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, the last name, on Facebook. Submit the friend request. And if you're not already, then we can chat, we can post, we can share things both in season and out of season, both during the show and out of the show. A lot of people choose to go the Facebook route. If they can't hear the show live during the weekday, leave a post for me, and we always try to get back to it. Good way to do it. In fact, it's probably a little more reliable than hitting the email inbox. And you can also get me on Twitter. Twitter handle is @JRBroadcaster. @JRBroadcaster. That's how you get me on Twitter. So you can do that as well. Easy to do. This one comes from G4 Driver in Georgia. And he says, Rook, I have a nitpick. I think that you need to make some decisions about priorities. Last week, you missed the Thursday edition of Patriots Playbook. The week before that, you missed both Wednesday and Thursday. And the week prior to that, you were ill and missed the entire week. I'll give you the pass on that one. But the fact remains, Cardinal Center Broadcasting is dead air time, and you may have been guilty of that. No, we had stuff running, didn't we, Kev?
Yeah, it wasn't dead air. It was just a replay.
He says, I understand that you have prior commitments, but my nitpick is that you should have some responsibility to both the Patriots and Playbook fans.
Getting called out, Rook.
That's why I'm saying it here. And Playbook fans to at least ensure that you have a replacement to do the show if you are unable. If you can't do that, you should resign. Your attendance record this year has been abysmal at best and would be totally unacceptable in corporate environment. All I'm asking is that you ensure the show goes on. I enjoy your broadcast when you're on, but that's not the point. Your attitude about dropping a show seems cavalier, doesn't speak well about how you feel about Playbook fans either. In the immortal words of Bill Belichick, just do your job.
Well, to be fair, it's not your fault that we replay the shows. I mean, we've tried to come up with other solutions, but Fred's the boss. He's the program director, and what he says, I do. His wish is my command.
I think that he is, I love this. This is great because it actually gives me a chance to explain. So it's good. Number one, Kevin's 110% right. Fred Kirsch, who, of course, is the editor-in-chief of Patriots Football Weekly, he is also the program director of Patriots.com Radio. And Fred knows that I have football games that I do and basketball games that I do as part of my living. And they pay me considerably more money than hosting this show does. And when you're a contractor, I think G4, you can probably also understand this. Anybody who's a freelancer or an independent contractor can understand this. You're going to take the gig that's going to pay you more money, right? Okay. So really, it's quite simple. I have to go where I know the money's going to be. Now, that doesn't mean, however, that we're trying to leave anybody left hanging here. In fact, quite the contrary. I feel guilty when I have a conflict. Kevin knows that, Fred knows that, and most of our regular listeners to this particular program and Patriots.com radio realize that. It's Fred's choice, because if he doesn't pay me, he's got to pay somebody else to slide into the slot. I mean, nobody works for free, G4. I'm sure you don't work for free, do you? Of course not. So to ask someone to come in and work for free, well, that's just idiotic. I mean, you could probably get somebody to come in and do it for free, but would that be doing the service to you and Patriots fans and Playbook fans that you're deserving of, as you already point out? Of course not. So all I'm saying is that I am doing my job. Sometimes there are conflicts. Sometimes I got to go where the most money is to be made. Otherwise, I wouldn't be true to my family, now would I? Now, if you want to have a little conversation with Mr. Kirsch where we can talk about, you know, bringing me up to snuff with some of the other things that conflict with Patriots Playbook, I'm all ears and willing to negotiate. But this is the way it is, and this is the way it has been now for 11 seasons. This is our 11th year to host this program. And I've been covering college football for each of those 11 years and beyond that. Started doing it before I ever came here. In terms of doing the .com radio programming, I was doing college football. So, really, my football commitment actually is prior to the Patriots commitment, truth be known. It has been for some time, because I've been a play-by-play announcer for over 30 years in my career. So, you know.
Have you been doing PC for like 15 years, too?
I've been doing Providence for 25 years, 24
yeah, so that,
years.
That precedes this as well.
This precedes my play-by-play commitment precedes my employee with the Patriots, period. This is my 20th year as an employee with the New England Patriots. 20th year. It's my 11th year to do Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com radio. The previous nine, I was just the public address announcer. Just. But that's what I did here and what I have done for, you know, now getting into my third decade. So, I appreciate your you know, willingness to call me out, G4, but at the same time, you need to have a little more information before you have a right to really nitpick at me. So there's the information for you. And hopefully that kind of settles the discussion right off the top here. Thank you for that. Here's Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. Afternoon, Al.
Hey, John, what, are they picking on you already here, John?
It's just an email, and frankly, I don't blame him because, you know, I did have commitments the last couple of weeks. Wasn't anything I could do, really, about Thanksgiving week because Thanksgiving week, program director says no show on Wednesday. So we only had one show that week on Tuesday.
It's all good, John. You know, it could be worse. You could be a Georgia Bulldog fan after last weekend.
That was a hell of a game, though.
It really was.
It was a hell of a game. I mean,
it really was a super game. I thought going into that, whoever wins that game, and I'm not a Notre Dame hater, but whoever wins that game is probably going to win the national championship. And I think Alabama has to be the clear favorite.
Alabama is the clear favorite, but I certainly give Notre Dame a shot in this one because nobody expected Notre Dame to be where they are. Mm-hmm. I certainly did not. I keep waiting for Notre Dame to lose, and somehow they keep waiting. Somehow they keep pulling it out. I got to admit, I have a vote for the Heisman coming up. I will tell you that I'm leaning heavily towards Manti Te'o, and the reason that I am is just because I think that this is one of those rare occasions where we don't have an offensive player that is heads and tails above everybody else.
Yep,
and I've always wondered why defensive players didn't really get more of an overall consideration where the Heisman is concerned, because the Heisman is supposed to be about the best football player
best
in the
player.
Country.
That's
not
right.
Best
Good
offensive
course.
Player, not
That's
best
right.
quarterback, not best running back, best player.
Unfortunately, the trophy is a guy running with the football.
And that's a common misconception now. That's very true. So I'm thinking this year because his team is number one, because he's certainly a focal point. He's an outstanding linebacker. He's going to be in the top 3 to 5 picks in the draft anyway.
Okay.
You know, and I think actually Johnny Manziel at A&M and Colin Klein at Kansas State have to be the other two, that are up there.
Right.
And I kind of think they cancel each other out. I'll be honest.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. And Manziel's just a freshman. And, you know,
well, I'm trying not to hold that fact against him. I really am.
Right.
Because a freshman has never won the Heisman, but that doesn't mean that a freshman can't. And he could certainly put all that crap right into the history books if he wins this year. He's probably as deserving as the other guys. But the only thing that's keeping me from Manziel is his overall team is 10-2, whereas Kansas State is, you know, going to be in a BCS bowl, and Notre Dame's playing for the national championship. I kind of feel like there's a little bit of an edge there with those guys. It doesn't mean that he can't win it eventually at A&M, but I'm kind of leaning toward Tayo, Klein, Manziel in that order.
Well, you know, of course, Charles Woodson did manage to win the Heisman as mostly a defensive player, but
they did
have to run those highlights, you know, type plays where he's going to play a little offense, or we're going to have him run back kicks, or we got to get him some highlights because there aren't any highlights on defense.
Yeah.
So we got to get him some offensive. You know, it would be nice, refreshing to see a purely defensive player who was not sort of engineered into offensive highlights, you know, win the whole thing. I think you got to go back to maybe Hugh Green at Pittsburgh being the last guy before this guy to really have a shot at it. I think he finished second or third.
He finished second, I believe.
The year that he was up. Yep. Yeah. So this would be a good change. And, you know, it's your vote. But if you had to, if you asked me for my input, I think you're leaning in the right direction with the Notre Dame kid. So we'll just see. But it was certainly a big thing. And on Saturday here, you know, a lot of what, you know, we talk about these clock management things. A lot of people are blaming the quarterback around here because we're like afraid to blame the coach. But, you know, Aaron Murray is running down the field asking, do you want me to spike the ball? He's giving the international universal spike the ball signal. To the bench, right?
Yeah.
Waving the arm up and down. Is that what you want?
Right.
You know, and I don't know if anybody saw him or what the miscommunication was, but evidently, you know, the ball didn't get spiked despite him giving the internationally recognized signal to the bench. So I don't know quite what happened, but certainly something blew up there that shouldn't have blown up. But, you know, it's just one of these things, again, that seems so simple. And as a fan, you don't know all the X's and O's, but you like to think you know the rules. And when the rules don't get applied correctly from the standpoint of a lot of fans, you know, there is going to be controversy.
But yeah,
I love Mark Richt. I don't think I don't want anybody else coaching the team other than Mark Richt. But
well,
he has always had this problem
with
the clock and the score and the time and stuff like that. This is not the first time this has happened.
It's interesting to hear you say that because about 2 or 3 years ago, Georgia fans were ready to write him out of town.
Well, they shouldn't be because he's everything you want. I still believe, John, and I know you're big into college sports, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I think 98% of it is leadership and organization when you're talking college kids.
Yeah.
Leadership and organization. And he's got that going on.
Yeah.
But he does seem – when you've got to answer questions from Atlanta media who don't care about leadership and organization, they care about why didn't you spike the ball, you know, and you want to tap into that Atlanta market, you've got to live with those type of questions, too. You can't just wall yourself off and say, I'm going to be the coach of not Atlanta. You know,
sure.
No, you have to be the coach of Atlanta, too.
Right.
So,
and,
you know, you have to be willing to put up with those type of questions after the game.
I agree.
That goes.
I would also add to it, though, that, you know, a huge part of it is recruiting. I think you have to, if you're going to have success in the college ranks, you got to go out and get the players.
Yep.
But then, you know, here's another argument to coaching. I mean, pure coaching. You can be organized, you can delegate authority, but you got to coach those players up.
Yep.
And an example of that is what's going on at Texas, at my alma mater. Last three or four years, they've had either the top or the second best recruiting class in the country, and yet they're still going 8-4. What's the problem here? Mac Brown hasn't figured out the best way to coach his players up. Either that, or Mac Brown just hasn't gotten the right assistants to coach them up.
He doesn't have the assistants or something. But, yeah, you've got plenty of talent. I think the kids are getting coached up, and you get a lot of Bulldogs that are in the NFL every year. And there'll be more coming out this year. Listen, about the Patriots.
Yes.
Here's the thing. I got a nitpick in a minute, but I want to get to this. I've got some very good news for you, John, here in the holiday season.
All right.
Okay? I've already got the AFC playoffs figured out.
Ooh. So you mean we can just take it to the bank now and just forget about
you
it?
Just take it to the bank.
All right.
Write it down now. Watch the spelling. You know, write it down now.
All right, okay. Go.
Because last week you asked me to go check the schedules and everything.
Tell me.
I went ahead and did that.
Tell me what's happening.
Here's the deal.
Go.
I'll give you the bottom line up front.
Go.
At the end of the day, there's going to be three teams with 13-3 records at the top of the AFC. In alphabetical order, those teams will be the Denver Broncos, the Houston Texans, and the New England Patriots.
So you think the Broncos went out and become the one seed?
The Broncos, no. The Broncos, I said alphabetical.
Oh.
The Broncos went out. The Patriots went out. The Houston Texans will split 2-2, and they will all end up at 13-3. The Patriots will be the top seed because they will have beaten both Houston and Denver.
Correct. Yeah.
And then the second seed will be Houston with a split against those other two teams.
Okay.
And the third seed will be Denver with losses to both of those other two, which they've already lost to both Houston and New England.
Okay.
So they would be the third seed. I'm assuming, of course, the Patriots beat Houston on Monday night. And you say, well, who else are they going to lose to? They've got two games left, Houston does, as you may know already, with the suddenly resurgent 8-4 Indianapolis Colts. And I think that the Colts have every chance to split that thing. They've got two cupcakes and two games with the Texans. The Colts have the Kansas City Chiefs at Kansas City, and they've got the Tennessee Titans in Indianapolis.
Okay.
They should win both of those games,
mm-hmm.
and that would give them every incentive to be really fired up to play the Texans twice. And I think they get one of those games. They may not get the first one at Houston, but I think they'll get the season finale in Indianapolis. And that game will be a very important game for the Colts. And they could finish up 11-5 if they get that game. So the top three I see, again, being New England. I see Houston number two, Denver number three. The number four seed will be whoever wins the AFC North. It could be any one of those three teams, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, or Cincinnati. Baltimore's got a very tough schedule down the stretch with four games. They could win them all. They could lose them all. You know, they're very tough games. They've got at Washington. They've got Baltimore at home, the Giants at home, and at Cincinnati to finish the year.
Okay.
So I don't see Baltimore running the table. They're going to lose at least one more game. I think the Denver game will be at least the one that they lose. So they're going to end up in fourth position. The Colts will be in fifth, and then whoever finishes second behind whoever wins the AFC North will be the AFC North winner will be the number four team, and then whoever finishes second in that conference, or rather in that division, will be the sixth team.
Okay.
So you'll have musical chairs basically between Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and
Indianapolis.
Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Baltimore. You'll get two out of those three in the postseason. And you'll get one of them will be shut out of the postseason. But I have the Colts, based upon their schedule and their record of 8-4 right now, based upon their schedule, I think that they're going to make the postseason.
Okay.
And I think they're going to go, like I say, 11-5.
I think they could.
Split against the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at, again, top to bottom would be New England, Houston, Denver, AFC North winner, Indianapolis, AFC North second, 1-6.
Okay. All right, so says Big Al. We'll revisit this, won't we, Al?
We certainly will. And my nitpick, let me give you my nitpick, and I'll let you go.
Go.
The nitpick I have is I love the last drive like everybody when we cranked, you know, ran down the clock and
took
the field goal. All we needed was a field goal there. I mean, it would be nice to get a touchdown, but you just need to make a two-score game
mm-hmm.
at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So the last drive was great. But the drive we had earlier in the quarter when we had a first and goal from the two, you know, come on.
Yeah.
It was, you know, sack, incomplete sack.
Yep.
And, you know, I know everybody's blaming Welker because he dropped the ball in the end zone.
Yep.
But, you know, look, our offensive line, I understand it's duct tape and WD-40 that we're using to keep these guys together because there's so many injuries. But Dante is doing a hell of a job with that offensive line.
No question.
You know, I just don't know why you don't try to punch it over once or twice, you know, in that situation.
Should have.
Why do we have to go?
Should have. Those were poor calls.
I thought they were. You know, but so that drive I'm going to nitpick on. But I think we made up for it on the next drive.
You did. You did. And I think what happened was is that they decided, I think it was very clear to me, that they just decided, look, we should have done this in the previous drive. Let's just pound away. And it worked.
I think you're right. I think they're, you might maybe have lit a little bit of a fuse underneath that offensive line.
May very well be.
Said, hey, we're going to show these people that we can control this game down the stretch, and they certainly did.
Have a
great week there, John. We'll
Thanks,
talk to you
Al.
Next week.
You got it. Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. Let's go to Daryl in New Brunswick. Daryl, you're up next in the playbook.
Hi there. I just want to tell you, I love the show.
Thank you.
Don't listen to that comment there a few minutes ago. I mean, everybody has to work their jobs, right? It's all good.
Yeah. Well, believe me, I have to keep track of all of mine. I understand that. But if I could find one, Daryl, that would pay me enough, believe me, I'd be happy to give up everything else.
Yes, for sure. Two quick comments. I don't have a nitpick about the game. I think, you know, like the last caller said, with our offensive line and everything, I think we should have scored 30 points, right? I mean, it shouldn't have been as close a game as it was.
Yeah.
But I think the team played great. My comments are, first, I mean, I would be scared to think of this team next year with A. Walker. I mean, what that guy does on third, like third and seven, I mean, we're leading the league right now in third down conversions. And he's like, you know, pretty much every time we're like third, seven, third, five, you know it's going to him.
Sure.
Right? I mean, he's just so dependable, and he knows where the marker is every time. Like, the man is incredible. And I think he's still got plenty left in the tank. I would love to see them give him a three-year deal. I know because of the cap, that's probably not going to happen, but worst case scenario, I hope they still give him the franchise, like, for next, at least to have him back for one more year. I think next year, if we have Gronk and Hernandez and everybody healthy, I think we can even make a better run next year, especially earlier on in the season. And then my other comment is, I would be scared to think of what the Jets would be like without Mark Sanchez. I hope he's the starter there next year because he plays so well for the New England Patriots. He always turns the ball over to us. He's so dependable. I mean, how many games did he come through for our team? And the other thing I was thinking, if he does get cut, because I know they guarantee him like $8 million or something next year, maybe we can get him as like a backup because he's so good at putting the ball to our receivers. I mean, he made Steve Gregory look like the best safety in the league in that Thanksgiving game. So anyways, that's all I had to say. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Daryl. That's awesome. nothing like a backhanded compliment to Jets fans, huh? Or to Mark Sanchez, for that matter. See, don't you just love rivalry? We didn't have the rivalry with the Jets. You couldn't pick crap on them like we do. Oh, that's beautiful. Alvin in Texas. Alvin, you're up next in the playbook. Thanks for hanging on, buddy.
Oh, hi there. This is like my first time I ever called this number. I mean, this hotline number with
Patriots
playbook.
Well, I'm glad you did.
I mean, I have you on Facebook, but I have no idea how to get you on Facebook. That's why.
Oh, well, all you have to do is just, if you do the chat function on Facebook, sometimes I can get to it. Other times I can't if I'm, you know, multitasking and I'm doing other things. But if you leave it there, then if you leave the chat function there, then if I have to leave the page or whatever, it saves it as a message. So I'll get it in my message file. So that's probably one of the best ways to go.
The reason I still believe on the past really this is that they could run the table is because we're going to get Rafasi back and we're going to have two tight ends, Rafasi and Hernandez, that's why. And we're going to have a deep, and we have right now a solid defensive line, that's why. I mean, they played good this weekend anyways. And like, I don't understand how many people are still bashing Brady. I mean, Brady was playing at Miami, and Miami was not even, I mean, Miami is the toughest stadium for Tom Brady.
Yep. Well, you know, your points to the offensive line or defensive line are, first of all, very, very good because that's one of the things that, I mean, they've been able to plug in some of the holes there that they've had. You know, for instance, when Chandler Jones went down, you know, and then you have Jermaine Cunningham who was suspended, and then you're not sure what you have there, and Trevor Scott has definitely risen up, had a great game this weekend, but I think Trevor was also helped by the fact that the secondary had one of its better games of the year overall in the fact that they were able to create some coverage sack opportunities for him. To me, that was one of the significant factors in the defensive front also continuing to kind of pick up where they left off earlier. The defensive line, honestly, is the one area, I think, in the entire football team, Alvin, that really you can't knock at all this year. And a lot of that has to be from Vince Wilfork's leadership. And then one of the other unsung players on the entire roster all year long is Kyle Love. Kyle Love, he flat out is, I mean, guy's got a motor. I mean, and I love his ability just to be a run stuffer, just to be a gap stopper, just to be a nuisance. I mean, he's not going to get a quarterback sack or two for you in a game, but boy, he's going to be in there in the middle of that pile somewhere making real trouble for somebody. And I've loved the way that Kyle Love has played this year. He's one of my true unsung heroes of the entire team.
Especially Ninkovich
too. Sure.
And all those fumbles, we're ranked number two right now on defense on turnovers. One question, I got a question. How long is Brandon Lloyd's contract? Just get rid of him.
Wes
Walker.
Whose contract?
Brandon Lloyd. Ocho Cinco, that guy that he can't even catch for squat.
I think Brandon Lloyd had signed a 3-year deal, if I'm not mistaken.
I say cut him and give it to Wes Walker. He actually earned that.
Well, but it's not quite that easy. I mean, you cut the guy, you're still going to owe him some money.
Because
a contract's a contract. I mean, you know, you promise a guy 3 years. If you cut him, you still got to pay him. That's what a contract is. So, it doesn't matter. I mean, you got a contract, you got a contract. Now, maybe they try to negotiate out of it, or maybe they give him a buyout, or I don't know. But my whole point with Welker is that Welker has progressed enough in his career and has commanded the kind of monetary dollars that he's commanding now to the point where the Patriots really, I mean, they got to pay Brady, they got to pay Wilfork, they got to pay, you know, one or two guys, and you don't really want four guys or three guys. And then, of course, they've just signed Gronkowski and Hernandez both to, you know, new contracts that take them through like 2018, I think, Alvin. So you've got a lot of dollars tied up into four players right there. You really don't want to have half of your salary committed to four or five guys. How are you going to pay the other 48?
I never thought about that. I mean, because the thing is appointment that Wes Walker is not going to be with us next year.
It's not a foregone conclusion, Alvin, but I'm just saying that, you know, I think most Patriots fans have to realize that it's unlikely that a deal gets done because the Patriots, A, probably don't want to spend the cap room because for the very reason I just mentioned, they can't really afford to tie up a quarter to a half of their salary on just five guys. It just doesn't make good fiscal sense. What happens if one or two of those guys get injured? You got no room to re-sign anybody else. So you have to think about it fiscally. And this is one of the things, Alvin, that the Patriots have done so well, more so than other teams in the NFL over the last few years, is they realize and they've been able to maximize a player's value and a player's worth. And then when they realize that a player is probably beginning his downside, they give him what they feel, not anybody else, but what they feel is market value. If the player can go get more money from someone else, the Patriots are willing to let him go. And it's staying to that fiscal responsibility that is what has helped make the Patriots successful. And I wish our own United States government could do the same thing.
I don't know who that guy is, but okay.
There you go.
But the thing I don't understand, like when they did the face mask to Hernandez and they were close to the goal line, I don't understand how come they didn't run the ball. But game's a game, you know. I'm glad they won, and I was cheering for it.
Right.
And I started like telling my friends, look, those SCs drinking beer tonight, boys, because we're right now close to second seed. But right now the news is that Baltimore has to lose another game.
Yeah, Baltimore does. They do have to lose one more, and thanks for the call, Alvin. Baltimore has to lose one more, but today, if the playoffs were going to take place, and I realize that they're not, but the Patriots do hold the second seed, but that's a little bit of fool's gold right now simply because it's a three-way tie, and in ties with more than two teams, then it sort of becomes a mini-conference, and, you know, they have, you know, the better overall, you know, conference record, and so that's why. But there is some head-to-head, because Baltimore's going to play Denver, and so that tie is obviously going to be broken, and that tie is not going to stick. So as I said last week, I said the week before, when we started looking at the playoff picture and thinking, hey, now's the time to start looking at it, Pats fans, and we said this during last week's shows, you got to hope Baltimore loses twice. It's that simple. Because of that 31-30 loss back in September, you have to hope Baltimore loses twice more. Well, they got one of those this weekend. In fact, I said last week as well on this program, I said, you got to root for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Pittsburgh came through, even with Charlie Batch. shocking as that may be, Steelers won. Baltimore got a loss. Now, in the last 4 weeks, Baltimore needs to lose one more. Now, it could very well be that it's Denver, because Baltimore has to play Denver, and that could happen. But then again, the Patriots have to continue to win out. Otherwise, Denver is going to jump over the Patriots, because I really don't think that the Broncos are going to lose. Broncos have at Oakland, at Baltimore, Cleveland, Kansas City. The one losable game in there is at Baltimore. So if somehow they're good enough to beat Baltimore in Baltimore, they're not losing any of the other three. That means the Broncos could be 13-3. And if the Patriots aren't 13-3, Broncos move into the second seed. It's that simple. So if you're rooting for Denver to win at Baltimore, you better hope that the Patriots also win out the rest of the way. Denver has the easiest schedule. I think New England's probably next after that. And then Baltimore has the most difficult schedule. They play at Washington, they play Denver, they play the Giants, and they play at Cincinnati. Yikes. By the way, if you're interested in Houston's schedule, after they play against the Patriots here next Monday night, they play Indy at home, Minnesota at home, and then at Indy. So they play Indianapolis twice in the last 3 weeks, which is one of those quirky things about the NFL schedule. But the NFL did say they were going to try to emphasize, divisional matchups late in the season. They certainly have done that with the Texans. So that's why the Texans, while they've clinched a playoff spot, they haven't yet clinched the division. Patriots were the first team in the NFL to clinch a division title this year and did it a matter of minutes before the Denver Broncos did, but still, they were first. The one team that I don't want to face, the one team that I don't want to face in the playoffs right now, but you probably have your favorite too, or least favorite as the case may be. But based on the way they've been playing, the one team that I don't want to face right now, that's Denver. There's no doubt about it in my mind. Peyton Manning is the man. He's the man. There are two quarterbacks who are heads and tails above everybody else in the NFL. There's just no other two ways about it. There's some really good ones out there, but I'm leaving Aaron Rodgers out of this mix. It's Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, and then it's Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. I don't think you could go wrong either way. And I'm not being a homer. I'm not being a shill. I think I'm probably preaching to a lot of the choir here. But if you don't put in Peyton Manning, if you're not putting Peyton Manning in the same breath as Tom Brady, you just don't know squat. You don't know anything about football. The guy's coming back from a broken neck. And what, like 3 surgeries on his neck? And now he looks like the Peyton of old. You think Denver made a good move by trading Tim Tebow and bringing in Peyton Manning even at his quote-unquote advanced age? Come on. Denver has a chance to do serious damage. And they've been banged up. They've been banged up as much as the Patriots have been banged up. Patriots were lucky. Not lucky. But they were lucky to catch, I would say, the Broncos when they caught them. Do I think the Patriots could beat the Broncos? Sure, in the playoffs. But I'd much rather face them here than have to face them at Mile High. And that's still a statistical possibility. But Denver's the one team right now that I'm like, okay, if I had to pick one team to avoid in order to get to the Super Bowl, that's who I'm picking. What about you? webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. John.Rook on Facebook, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. Plus, I need your nitpicks. Haven't seen any of the nitpicks. Are we all okay with what happened on Sunday? Are we all sitting here fat and sassy waiting for the playoffs to start? Bring on the playoffs! Forget the fact that we have arguably the best team in the NFL coming in here Monday night, which should be quite the show. We'll spend a lot of time this week taking a look at the Houston Texans. Well, we can start now if you like. I'm curious to know how you view the game of the Texans. Who's the one team that you'd like to avoid if you could avoid a team on the way to the Super Bowl? And do you have any nitpicks with this team? Did Sunday's win at Miami sit well with you? Can't believe that to be the case. Can't believe that to be the case. Not buying it. What are your thoughts? Web radio at patriots.com. Again, the ace ticket hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's get a timeout on here. We continue with more Inside Patriots Playbook.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Second down and goal, Miami 7. Pass to the right, it's a screen pass to Welker. He's going to go to the end zone, standing up, touchdown. Wow, that was like stealing.
Pay him.
That was like stealing.
Period. Can't cover him.
Ha 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 ha! Little editorial comment there by Scott Zolak. I love that. Play that again, Kevin. That's awesome. This was Sunday against Miami, right? Go.
Second down and goal, Miami 7. Pass to the right. It's a screen pass to Welker. He's going to go to the end zone. Standing up. Touchdown. Wow, that was like stealing.
Pay him.
That was like stealing.
Period. Can't cover him.
Oh, nothing like brutal honesty from Zoe. Oh, welcome back inside the playbook. Pay him. That's a good drop right there, Kev. Save that one. Anytime we mention Wes Welker, okay? Anytime we mention Wes Welker, you got to hit the drop. Pay him. See? Now we got a little gimmick on the show. Yeah, that's it right there. Pay him. Let's see if it works. Can we see if it works? Can we test it? Wes Welker. See, it works.
Love
Let's
it. Let's get loaded into the
get a load in. Yeah, there you
over
go.
Here so I can get to it quicker.
All right, sounds good. I'll give you a chance to do that. I won't abuse it too much yet. That's great. Hour number two of the playbook here for a Tuesday. My name is John Rook. You can reach us one of several ways, webradio@patriots.com, the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. John.Rook on Facebook and @JRBroadcaster on Twitter. Thank you for the new Twitter followers. It's all appreciated. Playoff picture.
Everyone loves a junior broadcaster.
Junior broadcaster. Thank you. I know. It's JR Broadcaster, damn it. It was you and Scal. You guys are the ones that came up with it.
Who doesn't love a nice young junior broadcaster?
Junior broadcaster. That's exactly right. See, I'll be forever young this way. Hey, once a rookie, always a rookie, right? Probably should have gone with that one. I should have said rookie. Rookie broadcaster, something like that. Oh, well, no biggie. It is what it is, JR Broadcaster. Playoff picture analysis, as we've kind of run through, and I know the PFW guys did this earlier today, but fact remains is that five teams could have clinched playoff spots last week. Four teams came through. The one team that wasn't able to do that was Baltimore, in losing that game to Pittsburgh. So we got two division champions crowned of the AFC. You've got New England and Denver at 9-3. Houston has the best record in the conference and in the NFL right now, matched with Atlanta at 11-1. They're in the playoffs, haven't yet secured the division title because Indy is three games back with four to play. Indianapolis, by the way, is in the wild card driver's seat at 8-4. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati are both 7-5, and they both have a two-game edge over the rest of the pack, looking for that sixth and final playoff seat. And the way that it breaks down in the AFC is that, you know, the Patriots have Houston, of course, coming up on Monday. Houston, I mean, they played Denver and Baltimore. They beat Denver back in week three. They beat Baltimore at home in week seven. Baltimore, has, of course, we know, beat New England back in week three. They lost at Houston in week seven, so they're 1-1. Patriots lost to Baltimore, beat Denver. And then Denver lost to both. Lost to Houston in week three, lost to New England in week five. But those four teams are vying for the top two byes in the AFC. Denver has the easiest schedule down the stretch, followed by New England, followed by Houston, followed by Baltimore. And I think I read somewhere yesterday, and I don't remember what website it was, so forgive me. Somebody probably knows this. But I read where the Patriots actually statistically have the best chance to gain one of the two, outside of Houston, of course, has the best chance to gain one of the other bye in the AFC. I think like a 47% chance, almost like a 1-2 chance. And then next after that was Denver at like 25-24%. And then Baltimore is only like a 12% or 14% chance, just because of the strength of schedule over the last 4 weeks of the regular season. Going to be difficult. Baltimore has to play at Washington this week. Then they'll have Denver and the Giants at home before going on the road at Cincinnati. And Washington still feels like they're in it. The Giants, you know, they're going to be problematic because the Giants messed up last night and lost to Washington. They're going to need to get some playoff, you know, juice going. And then Cincinnati, that last week, Bengals might be playing for a playoff spot themselves right there in the last game. And at home against Baltimore, that's going to be hard. That's going to be hard. And the most likely game they could lose could be that Denver game. So there is some intrigue, and it's not going to be a slam dunk. But the Patriots can have, and they do have, destiny in their own hands. And that is what is most important. And one of the things that needs to be emphasized here at this early stage of the game, with 4 weeks left in the regular season, the Patriots control their destiny, it would appear. Slightly. All right, and the reason I say that is because when out, they're probably going to get one of the top two seeds. But as we said last week, and we'll repeat it, we repeated in the opening hour today, and we'll repeat again here, they still need a little tiny bit of help. Baltimore's got to lose one more time. And as I said, Baltimore is at Washington, against Denver, against the Giants, and at Cincinnati in the last four. It's not unreasonable to expect the Ravens to lose one of those four. So that's the tiny little bit of help that the Patriots need. And as long as they win their last four, the Patriots will have the double bye. They won't have to play on wild card weekend and only have to win two games to get to the Super Bowl. One of them we know, which would be assured at home. It depends on who's the number one seed overall. What you've done with the AFC East Championship again this week is you've clinched yourself at least a home game in the playoffs. Division champ, even if you're having to play on wild card weekend, you're going to be home for it, playing either the 5 seed or the 6 seed, depending on whether you're 3 or 4. So that's kind of where you're looking at. In fact, if you're the 3 seed, I believe you play the 6. So if you're the 3 and you play the 6, then right now in the 6th spot, I believe, is Cincinnati. So I guess if the playoffs were to start today, which they won't, but if they were, I believe it would be the Patriots playing Cincinnati here at Gillette. Still a long way to go. And I don't know that Cincinnati's in there. Well, actually, no, I take that back. It's got to be Pittsburgh, right? I think Pittsburgh holds a slight advantage over Cincinnati. Again, I'm just kind of glancing at things and not really paying attention to it here on the computer screen. But just as I glance it over here, I guess it probably is Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh 7-5. Indy's 8-4. So Indy would hold the 5 and Pittsburgh would hold the 6. But Cincinnati is right there. So might be Pittsburgh. Anybody really feel solid about playing Pittsburgh in here in a wild card weekend? Not me. Not I. That could be somewhat problematic, couldn't it? All right, let's get back to the phones. Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin, you're in the playbook.
Hey, Don, how you doing?
Good, man. What's going on?
Well, just listen to what you just said. I would not, of course, feel comfortable about playing Pittsburgh. They have that deep threat. That defense looks a little bit rejuvenated. Although I still think we could take them. I just would work for that, you know. Later on in the playoffs, not just opening up with a Pittsburgh with a veteran team like this. But as far as these next 2 weeks go, I'm super excited. This is, like I said, the best pre-playoff schedule you can almost have. We can really see what our team has. I just didn't want it to come with us kind of beat up and banged up. But I think a lot over these next 2 weeks that how we protect Tom Brady is going to play a huge role in who gets the win.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, we got like 3 linemen out, and now we're coming up with J.J. Watt, and then next week with both those Smith brothers over there. And it's going to be tough trying to protect them. And then when Tom Brady has his opportunities, I noticed, if I can nitpick anything, a lot of times last week, even the Jets, and this past weekend, he missed Edelman a couple of times. That was wide open and trying to force the ball to Welker. So he's going to have to take advantage of those situations, those opportunities when he gets the chance, because, you know, he's not even playing this week. So whoever's going to fill that role, I don't know if they're going to put – well, I wish Lloyd would step up, but maybe whoever's that third receiver, maybe, you know, I don't know if they're going to put Slater in or –
Well, they are allegedly, several sources have reported, they are allegedly re-signing Dante Stallworth.
Yeah, so whoever's open in that, you know, in those slots, he's going to be able to take advantage of that. But I am feeling very good about the defense. I thought that the Bills games was probably one of the toughest games I had to ever watch. I left for a while and went to lift weights. I was so upset with missing tackles and scoring touchdowns. But over these last couple of weeks, I think that whatever they're doing on defense, they're getting better. At least we're moving in the right direction now and not going back down here with the Bills game. So I really felt like we were going down here with the Bills. But
yeah, and I don't disagree with that. I think we've seen enough over the last few weeks where there is reason to be encouraged about the direction that the play and the effort of the defense is going. I mean, you still want to have a defense that, you know, can restrict movement, and even though it's still somewhat free between the 20s, the one thing that I think we've really seen the Patriots begin to tighten the screws on is red zone defense.
Right, right. And even Spikes played well against the pass this past weekend. I thought he did a lot better against the pass than he normally has been. So I was encouraged by that. And what do you think about, I'm not sending an email earlier, but about Masafe Shenko and his inability to get involved with the offense. I was thinking he's Ocho Cinco, tight end. But is he really getting utilized like he was supposed to, or do you think he's not getting offense?
No, I don't think he's being utilized at all. Part of that is because he just hadn't been healthy enough to be out there. I mean, I realize he's been cleared to practice and such, but clearly if they thought he could do the job, he'd be out there. But they keep, you know, Daniel Fells is getting that time. So I don't know that you could call him Ocho, because Ocho was at least out on the field and targeted. Shenko hadn't even been targeted.
Okay. He's not getting out there.
No, he's got to get out there. Got to get out there. And unless you know this as well as anybody, Melvin, because you've been around long enough as a fan to realize that unless you have Brady's confidence, you might as well pack it up. Because you're not going to get targeted. It's not going to happen. So,
right.
You know, I'm a little curious here that if they did re-sign Dante Stallworth, I'm wondering why Deion Branch didn't figure into that thought process. And it kind of tells me, I think, that they're ready to move on from Deion overall. And I guess maybe I'm a little disappointed. But I'm also thinking that they don't make too many moves like this on offense without having input from Tom Brady. And maybe Tom felt like this was the best avenue, just because he's a guy that can still make a play for you. That's the only thing I can consider at this stage, because some of it is still kind of a bit of a head-scratcher.
Yeah. Well, I'll say two more quick things, then I guess. But as far as that goes, I'm a little bit discouraged about that, because the brief time that I did see him and last time I saw him was preseason, he was getting no separation from those backup defensive backs. So I really don't know. At least Deion Branch was, you know, Deion Branch can do his thing, and he's knowledgeable and can get away and separate and stuff like that. So at least that's an option. But, you know, just in preseason, which was a long way ago, we're like week 11, something like that now, week 12. But he wasn't doing too good from my view of things in the preseason. And what was going on, now that I think about it, I didn't notice who was playing safety back there. Was McCourty playing safety? Chung playing safety? What was going on this past weekend in Miami? Because I didn't really notice or pay too much attention to it, but which one was playing more, and how are they using Chung now since he's come back?
I saw
him in the Jets.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at the breakdown and see if I can look at, you know, the play, the you know what they're talking about, how many snaps. Have to look at the snap chart and see. I'm guessing that was the case, that you saw McCourty back there a bit, but I'd have to go back and look at it again and see what the groupings were. Let me see if I can – I don't know if I can call that up or not. Let me see if I can get that up.
I want to see, because unfortunately, they've only allowed me to see about three Patriot games this weekend, so I have to – stream it or go to Buffalo Wild Wings or something. This is horrible. This is really bad. More reasons for me to leave once I get done at school. But it's crazy. I want to see how he's utilized, because, you know, Arrington was getting beat once again. Even though he played good with the Jets, he was getting, you know, he allowed somebody to get past him really bad. It's not even just the blowout pass him. I think Tannehill missed him the next couple of weeks, you know, or possibly.
Right.
You know, that's going to be points on the board.
Well, Steve Gregory played the entire game, okay? He played the entire game at safety, and so did McCourty. So it was McCourty and Gregory back at safety for the most part.
Chung had a healthy stretch.
Chung was only on the field for 8 snaps. So my guess would be that Chung, when he was on the field, he was either used in the nickel situation or McCourty slid over to play corner while he was out there. But McCourty and Gregory were your primary starters back there.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I think we realize, though, and we've said this over the course of the last couple of weeks, Melvin, that, you know, Devin McCourty, he's got, you know, obviously cover abilities, but the Patriots might be stronger overall in the secondary if they have him lined up at safety.
Yeah, I'm just still concerned about Arrington being out there. I know he can have good, man, if he's rather looking really good or look really bad, he's never in between. So I was thinking when they brought him back, I thought they were going to put Chung back there, and then McCourty would come up, and that would be perfect. Maybe Dennis could play the slot receiver or whatever they're going to do. That's why I was going to think. But maybe they're just going to roll with Arrington.
Yeah, I suppose anything's possible. You know, and I think they're going to be, you know, ready for just about any eventuality. I think that's the one thing you got to – I mean, you know as well as anybody that this team does preach versatility. So I think they'd rather have this problem than not have it.
Right. Well, all right, John. It's good to talk to you like normal.
Thanks, Melvin.
I'll continue listening to you, sir.
Thanks.
Have a good day, man.
All right, man. Talk to you soon. Melvin in Tennessee. You can join the conversation as well on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. That's how you reach us. I've got a bunch of Facebook posts here, so let me see if I can tackle a few of them here. Eric says, maybe it's just me, but did Tom, Brady I'm assuming, just look wore out all game? Do you think his wife being so close to having the baby could be causing him to lose sleep and affecting his play? No. Not really. I mean, I suppose he's human. I can't imagine that that's the case, at least at this stage of the game. I mean, I don't think the offense was particularly sharp, but I will also tell you that I believe a lot of the reason for that is due to Miami's defensive play. I thought Miami had an outstanding defensive game plan against the Patriots. They really shut down the run. Patriots, you know, realized that Miami, being a really solid run defense, went with their mostly wide package and threw the ball. If you notice in the first half, play calling was about 3-1 in terms of pass to run. And I think that played right into Miami's game plan. I don't think the Patriots did a good enough job outthinking what Miami might provide and present. Because when the Patriots attacked Miami at their strength in the second half, and in particular on that drive in the fourth quarter, you saw what they were able to do. So they did regroup, give them credit for adjusting and being able to adjust in time before it cost them an opportunity to win the game. But I give all the credit in the world to Miami's defense more so than I'm really nitpicking on the Patriots offense. The only nitpick that I have, Big Alan Valdosta mentioned it earlier, you know, that next to last drive of the ball game where they had first and goal of the two and couldn't punch it in, and Welker dropped the one incompletion, and then Brady got sacked twice. That would be my largest nitpick of the whole game. But then I would also say another nitpick has to be the offensive game plan going in, because Patriots have done a rather remarkable job of running the football, and then they started the game going away from it. Why are you so concerned about what the other team can do to you? Do unto them before they do unto you. Isn't that the golden rule anyway? I mean, I realize Miami's got a good run defense, but I'm sorry, you know, 16 plays, 77 yards. Did they not take care of business when they needed to? Where was that in the first half? I just think they sort of misgaged there, that's all. Just a small nitpick, really. Chad says, is the signing of Stallworth for depth, or will he and Lloyd be fighting for a starting spot? No, it's for depth. It's for depth. And it's because Julian Edelman may be out for a while. We don't know the extent of Edelman's injury. All we know is the same thing as you know. He was on the sideline in a boot and crutches before the game was even over. We'll know more when the injury report comes out tomorrow after 4 o'clock Eastern time. But he most definitely will not be signed off the street and then fighting for a starting spot. I don't think the Patriots are quite that desperate yet. My buddy Tim says, nitpick, one, kicker again. I know it was a long one, but it wasn't even close. And two, why did it take so long to get the no huddle going? Those are both good things. I would tell you that Gostkowski missing, yes, and sliding it off to the right would probably qualify as a nitpick, although I would probably have it low on my totem pole this week. But it just seems like every time Steve Gostkowski gets ready to line it up, I'm holding my breath now more so now than I did earlier in the year or than I did at any point in time last year.
I'm doing so pretty much more than any time I can remember as a Patriots fan because, you know, I grew up with Vinatieri pretty much.
And he was automatic, it seemed.
Yeah, and I mean, we never even had to worry about it. And now, all of a sudden, ugh, I don't know. I even had a bad feeling. I don't know why, because this was early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
But when he came out and missed that kick against Arizona to lose that game, I was, you know, going bananas on the sideline wondering, you know, it's a 42, 43-yarder. I wanted him to get closer because I didn't trust him from there.
Right.
And that was before all these misses.
I know. It seems like, you know, if you're inside of 40, you pretty much are money. But outside of 40 now, you have to be at least a little bit concerned. And I don't think that's a very comfortable spot to be in. I don't want to say that, you know, that they're unhappy with Steven Gostkowski. I think you have to be happy with him. But it just seems like the veneer of undefeatedness,
I don't think I get what you're saying, but I don't think you can say that they're happy or satisfied with what he's done this year, because I think I'd have to go back and look, but they definitely have tried out kickers midweek.
Oh, they have. They have, which they do as a regular rule of thumb anyway. I would suppose then that they'll probably look to try to address that in the offseason with either a rookie free agent or somebody else that might be available.
He's also a guy that's going to get a longer leash because it's not often you draft.
Well, that's the other thing.
And when you when you spend a pick, you're going to give him a while.
Yes, and that's the other thing because
look at Ron Brace, second round pick, probably would have been cut off any other team, but.
Right, but he's getting the benefit of the doubt because he was a high draft choice. And anytime a kicker is a draft choice like he was, you're going
to
hold on to him because you don't want
to
waste it. So I agree.
I think
with
it
that.
Might be a pride thing too with Belichick, you know,
might
not
be.
Wanting to admit failure on those types of picks.
Might
know.
Be.
They held on to Darius Butler for an awful long time.
I'm willing to cut him a little bit of slack at least right now, but I think it's just something for us to all watch. Tim says, my personal nitpick is my order from the Pat's Pro Shop was whacked with almost $70 in brokerage fees from UPS and the order of goods that was only $160. He says, not that you care. You aren't even here half the time. Thank you, Tim, for that.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. And I do care. But, hey, what do you want me to tell you, Tim? Move closer. You live out in Kamloops, British Columbia. Where the hell is that? Can you see the end of the earth from where you are, Tim? Sounds like it. Michael says, wow, ripping you on attendance is cruel. The replacement shows, including last year's AK-47 show, was nowhere near as acceptable as you. Oh!
AK-47, that's why it's extinct. Fred put us into extinction.
Come on. I would love to see AK-47 come back. That'd be great.
Or just the Kevin Solo show. That'd be interesting.
That would be good, too.
Producing, answering calls.
Let's see you
emails.
Do everything right there.
Yeah,
you can answer the call. You can answer the calls live on the air. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, I could.
Just like in the good old days of radio. Right? I'd love to see it.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
I think we have to push for that next year, Kev.
Maybe sometime, you know, when I'm, you know, in the off season and I'm in here late at night just screwing around, I'll make a demo of, like, what it would sound like.
You should.
You know, for me, doing it by myself.
Get your boy, Derek from University of Arizona to be the caller.
I'll have him do, like, all these different voices. So, you know, he'll call in as, like, Cat in Chicago. He'll be like, hey, Casey.
Wow.
Or I could be the caller and the host, too. You know, that would really be a talent.
That would definitely be multitasking. I'd love to
create all the characters ahead of time and write scripts for them.
You should.
I could be Big Al. I could be everyone.
You could.
I could be Melvin. I could be Eldridge.
Right.
I have to work on my southern twang, though.
That's a great idea. Michael says he'd rather listen to ESPN radio. Yeah. I don't think he's a big fan of AK-47. Let's see. Your health was more important than the show, and you could tell Fred to offer you more than the other offers, but I am a realist, and that won't happen. It's business, and you are doing your job. Yes, thank you, Michael. That's true. I do not want Denver either, as we were talking about teams that I'd least like to face in the postseason. And if the Patriots have to go to Denver, that is very difficult. They still have a good defense, and Peyton can do some amazing things. Think of the AFC Championship memories. No doubt. No doubt. Spot on with all that right there. Okay. I think Tim has just responded here, but the computer's frozen. Oh, he says, I can't see the end of the earth from here. You Texans still think it's flat? However, I can still see Andy Hart's fat head. Oh, God. Wow. Should we save that one for Andy, Kev? love it. Absolutely love it. All right.
You want to make $5 the hard way?
That's Fred offering you more money.
$5 the hard way.
You want to make $5 the hard way?
Yeah, that would definitely be the hard way, no doubt. All right, Chicago native Pats fan Gabriel says, Miami's run defense is pretty good, but it was concerning to see dropped passes and having the passing game struggle. Agreed. In particular, that drive in the fourth quarter before the big 16-play drive where they had the first and goal of the two that we talked about. And having Wes drop the touchdown pass. Ball went right through his arms. He might have been screened somewhat on the play, might have been looking back into the sun. I don't know. I don't know that you can ever really use that as an excuse. He dropped the ball. But I would also say that the passing game struggled largely from Brady's misses and the drops more so than what Miami was presenting. I thought that Miami, defensively, passing would have been the way to attack them. And I think that's clearly what the Patriots thought with their game plan going in. Because statistically speaking, Miami defending the run was the stronger part of their defense. So what did the Patriots do? They came out throwing the football, thinking they were going to be able to attack Miami that way. But Miami was able to get a pass rush. And Patriots dropped a couple of balls. And I found it curious, they didn't target Brandon Lloyd really at all. I would have liked to have seen, to be honest with you, more short stuff coming out of the backfield. I think early they tried Vereen. I think early they tried him. I would have liked to have seen that and Stephen Ridley more so. And I think they did hit Danny Woodhead on one or two of those. I think overall, Gabriel, you just, as I said a little while ago, I think you just have to give Miami's defense some credit here. Patriots were not quite as sharp as we've seen them over the previous 4 or 5 weeks on offense. And I would tell you that the defense didn't turn the Dolphins over enough to where it could directly lead to points. And that's part of the reason why you saw the inflated scores over the previous 2 weeks. You didn't get that against the Dolphins, and hence you scored 23. Fortunately, your defense played well enough that that's all you needed on Sunday. That's all you needed. All right, let's get one more quick timeout in here, and then we'll come back. I've got nitpicks for you to get to. webradio@patriots.com. So if you have nitpicks from Sunday, absolutely, time now to pile them up. Let's go so we can move on with it. Got a couple of notes on the Houston Texans that I still want to pass along to you. And what's the team that you really don't want to face as the playoffs are now a month away? webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398, john.rook on Facebook, @JR Broadcaster on Twitter. Ready, go.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Have a nitpick about this week's game?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Well, John does too. Sucky, sucky, sucky. It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
And maybe some breaking news to tell you about. Literally. Several sources now, including the original source, which was WBZ Channel 4, saying that Julian Edelman is going to go on IR with a broken foot and may need surgery. So if that is indeed the case, then this certainly brings up a reason why Dante Stallworth would be re-signed to come back in, because you want somebody for potentially the long haul for the remainder of the season. So it's not just a short, like, 1 week or 2 week type of situation. And number two, this does bring up some question marks in the return game, because other than Wes Welker, exactly nobody has returned punts. That's right. It's been Welker and Edelman this year returning punts for the Patriots. So, are you going to risk putting Welker back there? You're going to have to probably bring somebody else in to return punts if Edelman is indeed gone for the year with a broken foot. All right, so that's the very latest that we can tell you about here inside the playbook today. And again, nothing official from the team, of course, but now we're getting multiple sources tweeting a WBZ Boston report that the good news is not good on receiver Julian Edelman. His foot is broken, and he will likely need surgery, which means he will be headed to the IR. So there you go, the IR list. All right, a couple of tweets here that have also just come in. At JR Broadcasters, where you can reach us on Twitter. Craig says, time management has been an issue all year. We won, but it continues to make me mad that they keep making the same mistakes. You know, I actually think that that's probably a pretty accurate one then, Craig, because it doesn't seem to be hurting as much now as it did maybe earlier in the year. But the fact remains is that I think the time management issue, if there are any time management issues with the offense, getting on, getting off, getting the special teams on, what have you, milking the clock, you know, when you're doing a two-minute drive or what have it, you know, before the end of the half or before the end of the game, whatever it is you're trying to do, it's not as big an issue now as it was earlier. And I think it's partly due to the fact that look at the personnel groupings that are on the field, and the guys that are on the field are the ones that Brady is most confident in. And that when he doesn't have the personnel groupings on the field that he'd like to have, then he's going to hesitate. So, I'd say that that's a pretty fair nitpick. Definitely a nitpick. The fact remains, though, is that they aren't completely clean when it comes to time management issues. I for one, you know, would love to see them continue with the, you know, no huddle, up-tempo, just keep moving. In fact, I think that's got to be one of the ways that you have to really think about beating the Texans this week. Is you never want J.J. Watt in particular to get a blow. You never want Houston to try to sub their personnel packages in and out depending upon what kind of play it is that you're calling. I think up-tempo, but controlling the clock, as Craig talked about, I think that's got to be a huge part of the game plan for the Texans next Monday night. Gabe says also, via Twitter, he says, as the playoff picture is forming, if everything goes as planned for the NFL, is everything pointing to a Pats versus Steelers? It is a possibility, Gabe, if the Patriots do not end up as 1 or 2. If they are 3, then yes, you'd have to say that it looms large right now that it would be a Pats-Steelers matchup. Right now, if the playoffs were to start today, the Patriots would be the 2. So in that instance, the Steelers would have to win their matchup in order to meet the Patriots. But again, the Patriots are the 2 today. They may not be the 2 this time next week as we begin talking about the San Francisco 49ers. So I hope that answers your question. Let's see. Jay in Miami. My number one nitpick of the game is Brady's inability to get the ball to open downfield receivers. Also, the running game is terrible until the last drive. It was so dynamic. Why were the Dolphins able to keep the offense at bay all game? Part of the reason, Jay, is for what we just kind of talked about. Number one, the game plan, I think, was a little askew. I would love to have seen them attempt to run a little bit more dynamically, as you put it, earlier in the game, even though that's a strength for Miami, because I think that one has to feed off of the other. And number two, I think you just, again, you got to give credit to Miami. They played well. They played their butts off. And sometimes, no matter how well you play, you just got to hand it to the other guy. And I think Miami was charged up and ready to go. I just don't think they have the personnel to match up with New England right now. They just don't. Mike says, what do you think? Will the Patriots at least have him to take a look at him, even if he hasn't played that much this year, that the Arizona Cardinals just cut Todd Heap? No, I you know, it's Mike in Erie, Pennsylvania. Mike, I would tell you that I'd be a little surprised at that one, although I know they love tight ends. But, you know, you got Fells, you know, you do have Shanko, you know, you're going to get Gronk back at some stage of the game, you know, and so, and you've got, you know, a couple of guys waiting in the wings for next year. So I would say no, I'd really be surprised at that one. Maybe they feel like you can never have enough quality tight ends. Maybe they feel like, you know, now if they let one of those guys go to bring in Heap, that would make more sense. But other than that, I can't imagine they'd be doing anything else. D in Waterville, Maine points out Devin McCourty has also returned kicks and punts. Has he returned punts? Have I missed that? Or it's possible. I know he's returned kickoffs. I know he's returned kickoffs, but I'm not aware that he's returned punts. He might have returned a couple. I'd have to look at the stats to see. And so if that is the case, then there you go. D in Waterville, Maine brings it out. Then I guess McCourty's going to get a lot of the duty back there returning punts of Julian Edelman's going on to the IR. So that's where we look. Here's Bill in Connecticut. Bill, thanks for hanging on. You're in the playbook.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Good, Bill. Thanks for calling.
Yep, great show.
Thank you.
Well, since you covered a couple of my nitpicks, one being Brady's inability to hit the open receivers early on, and then the offensive line's ability to protect them, therefore having him see and stand some pressure late in the game, I just have a couple of questions.
Go.
One, what would be Belichick and Brady's record in the postseason after losing to a team in the regular season?
I don't know, Kev. Can we see if we can look that up? What the record is in the postseason if they've lost to a team in the regular season? Is that
meaning if we have to meet the Texans again in the AFC Championship?
I see what you're saying. Sure, right.
And or the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
Okay. All right, you know, actually, that's a pretty good question. I think largely, just off the top of my head, I really believe that if they've lost to a team and they get the chance to rematch at some point in time, they have a really good record on the comeback side because they've had a chance to study it and attack it differently. Now, I don't know if that also includes in the playoffs because I frankly don't know how many times that's happened. It's quite possible that it's
a couple of times we lost to the Steelers and have beaten them in the postseason.
Well, yeah, that's actually a very good point. I think it was three or four that they lost the Steelers early in the regular season and came back and beat them in the AFC Championship game.
Right. And then just one last question. You know, being the Patriot fan that I am, I noticed Tom's up early in the morning doing interviews on other shows. My question is this week with the Monday night game, do they change the schedule for their practices so they could probably, you know, get to bed a little later and get up a little later?
Everything is done differently. They will probably be on a relatively regular week this week just because the last couple of weeks have been kind of screwy with the holidays and the travel and everything they've had to go through. So my guess would be they'll try to get them back as quickly to normal as possible, but realizing that they're going to be playing a day later this week than they would normally play. They probably won't have, they'll have probably one extra day of rest. That may actually come on Saturday as opposed to Sunday, since, you know, Sunday they won't be playing. So they'll probably try to get back to a little bit more of a normal schedule. But playing next Monday will also affect us again here on Patriots.com radio, because that means that pushes Patriots Monday back to Tuesday next week.
Right. So nitpicks will be on Wednesday?
Nitpicks will be on Wednesday next week. Very, very good.
Just off the top of my head here, Bill, I'd have to go through and look on a season-by-season base, but I started back in 2001, and if you recall, they lost to the Rams and then beat them in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
So that's the first one that I just found, and I'll go through and I'll look here and see if we can get you a little bit better answer, but that's the first one that just popped up.
All right, cool. I'll keep listening.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate the call.
All right, thanks, John.
You got it. Bill in Connecticut. Yeah, gosh, you know, how soon we forget. I remember I watched that game. I wasn't even in Foxborough for that one since I, you know, had the emailer hammer me for not being around much the last couple of weeks. I remember that back in 01. That was obviously at old Foxborough Stadium. I was in Vegas. I was in Las Vegas. Patriots were playing the Rams and didn't think anything about missing that game because I was in Vegas for a basketball tournament. And watched the game, I think it was at the MGM Grand Sportsbook. No, I did not put anything down on the Patriots. I don't have the guts to do it. Even though I think I might know something, I don't have the guts to do it.
I know you were talking 03, they had they beat in the playoffs, they beat Tennessee and Indy on their way to beating Carolina in the Super Bowl. They beat Tennessee and Indy also in the regular season that year.
And then beat them again in the playoffs
again,
in 03.
Which is something.
Okay. And then what year was the Pittsburgh? Was that 04 and 01? That's what I'm guessing.
So it definitely wasn't 01.
Okay.
Because I just looked at that. I'm looking
then it
at
had
04.
To be 04.
So they beat him in the playoffs 41-27, and then they lost,
to him
in the
regular
season.
Yeah, wasn't that the Halloween game? Yeah,
it was, exactly. Halloween, October 31st, they lost 34-20.
Right. So They lost to Pittsburgh regular season, beat them in the AFC Championship. It sounds to me like they've got a pretty good success record. In terms of total wins and losses, certainly they've won more than they've lost when you have to go to a rematch against a team you've lost to.
That year they also had a rematch with Indy, who they beat on opening night and then beat again in the playoffs. So it doesn't seem like the whole – I know a lot of people get concerned about, you know, once you have to rematch against a team a second or third time, is the book out on the Patriots and all that? But it doesn't really seem like that's been a – you know, an overwhelming factor here, and if anything, it's helped them out on that second go around.
Yeah. I would say that largely it has been easier for the Patriots to game plan for a second time than it is for opponents to game plan against them.
2005 lost to Denver in the regular season, lost to Denver in the postseason. That's an interesting one.
Say that again.
2005.
Yep.
They lost at Denver. 28-20 in the regular season.
Yes.
And then they lost to them 27-13 in that Champ Bailey play in the postseason.
In the postseason. So there was one
they had
their
number that year.
Yep, so there was one that they did not win on the rematch. That's the first one that I think we can consciously think of, though.
That's two. That's the Super Bowl, because we had the Rams one. The Super Bowl.
Oh, well, but no, they're in the Super Bowl and they won the rematch.
Oh, we're saying they have to lose.
In the regular season.
I thought he was asking.
Yeah, the question was losing in the regular season. If they played them again in the playoffs, did they win? And the answer to that, obviously, in 2001 is yes.
2006 again, John, lost to Indy in the regular season, lost to Indy in the playoffs. So back-to-back years.
Back-to-back years, that's two losses. All right, so now we're what does that make us now, 3-2? Since 2001, that makes you 3-2 in playoff second chances, in other words. All right, so he's going through that for you, Bill. See if we can't keep going with that. Mary Beth sends a note on Facebook. He says, love the game Sunday. Very happy with the Pats. Defense starting to make the plays. Offense could have been a bit better. No question. Oh, absolutely. No question. Offense could have been a bit better, but as I've said earlier, Mary Beth, I really believe you got to give some credit to Miami here. I think Miami was well-schooled. I actually like Joe Philbin as a coach from what I've seen. He's had his team competitive this year when they really had no reason to be. And, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Miami win, you know, certainly two out of the last three. I don't think they'll win all of them because I don't think they'll beat the Patriots here. But when you consider what you thought Miami would have before the year started, and for them to end up, say, 7-9, which is what they would be on target to do right now, I think that's at least respectable. Because I think we all thought that Miami might just be, especially when they made the decision to go with Ryan Tannehill, a rookie at quarterback. I thought that, you know, four or five wins for Miami would be very possible. And not only are they going to do better than that, but they've been very competitive. They've been right there with a lot of teams. What do you got?
Just even more fascinating. So it's 3 years in a row because in 2007, beat the Giants last game of the regular season.
Lost to them in the Super Bowl. Okay.
So that's 3 years in a row they lost to a team in the regular season and then lost the rematch in the postseason.
Well, no, but they beat the Giants, though, in the regular season.
Oh yeah. They lost the second
lost
half.
Lost the second game.
Rematch, yeah.
Okay. So now you're beginning to get a picture, though. So that means then that would put them in a rematch scenario that would with a team from the regular season that would put them, what, at 3-3 since 2001. So 500. Crapshoot, Bill. Crapshoot. Wow. That's actually a little bit closer than I thought it would be.
2009, beat Baltimore in the regular season, lost in a rout in the playoffs.
3-4.
So now you're under 500.
3-4. Now I think we're probably approaching what Bill was getting at, because I think just from the tone of the conversation, he was kind of worried about, hey, what happens if we lose to Houston? What are we going to, you know, what does that mean that, you know, we're going to do in the postseason?
I don't know how you'd count 10 because they split with the Jets during the regular season and then lost the third game. I would count that as a mark against them in what we're
in 2010?
Through. Yeah, you know, you split against the Jets.
And then you lost the playoff game.
And then you lose in the playoff game. Mm-hmm. So you lose 2 out of 3.
Right. Well, when you consider the regular season was that 45-3 rout. Right, the one game that they won,
and then they lost,
and then they lost in the playoffs. 14. Ouch! All right, well then, I guess you'd have to say overall, recent vintage, the rematch games are a toss up at best.
Obviously, last year, lose against the Giants regular season, lose in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So, yeah, so he had a point there.
He did have a point.
Since, like, 2005, they're really struggling on that. You know, when you play a team outside the division in the regular season and then have to match up with them again in the playoffs, they really struggled that second go-around. So I hope that answers his question a little bit.
Sounds like it's at least come close anyway. I hope that does take care of you. This is the note that I have on the Houston Texans today. It would appear that Stanford Rout is signed with Houston. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle reporting earlier this afternoon that Rout will give the Texans an experienced option in the secondary with Bryce McClain going on injured reserve. And because of the uncertainty over the health of Jonathan Joseph and Alan Ball, and not the least of which is some familiar surroundings because he grew up in nearby Austin, Texas, and he played college ball at the University of Houston. So Stanford Rout is has signed with the Houston Texans, and after canceling apparently a planned trip to Pittsburgh to go visit with the Steelers. Anyway, that's according to John McClain this afternoon of the Houston Chronicle. So some potential moves being made by the Texans in the secondary. You know, the Texans, I think, have been deemed vulnerable only because they've, won two of the last three games in overtime that they've come down to. So because of that, they're deemed vulnerable. I think the secondary has probably gotten away a little bit with some things. And a lot of that is simply because of J.J. Watt's presence. I mean, 15 and a half sacks. There won't be a better defensive lineman, I don't believe, that the Patriots are going to face this year, with all due respect to what the 49ers have, and we'll deal more with that next week, of course. But I think that'll be a tremendous challenge for the offensive line and for Dante Scarnecchia this week, and trying to figure out how best they're going to scheme up either zone block or, you know, run different tackles or whatever they're going to do, double team a guy like Watt. As far as I'm concerned, I've always thought, and more often than not, it seems to work. It doesn't work all the time because sometimes, you know, your teammates are allowed to help you out. But I've always been of the opinion that if you have somebody that really is strong, and especially if you have some alleged weak spots elsewhere on the defensive front, you run right at the strength. Run right at him. Because if you've got him playing on his heels as opposed to him attacking and coming after you, that's a completely different mindset. Somebody else has to step up and make a play. And you're forcing a defense to commit somebody to doing that if you're blocking right at the point of attack on the superior defender. And I'd love to see the Patriots just take it right at him. Depending on where, you know, they'll line up Watt, I mean, is that going to be Nate Solder's responsibility? I'd like to see, you know, them, you know, run sweeps to the left and pull a guard from the right and, you know, utilize a lead blocker. I think it'd be great to see something like that this week against the Texans. But the Texans have a tremendous amount of speed, even with the injuries they've had at linebacker. You know, the Texans have definitely been banged up on the defense. And the signing of Rout today is in an effort to try to shore up somewhat some of the depth issues that they have in the secondary. I'd love to see them go right at Houston's strength just to sort of render him neutral almost more than anything else. I'd love to see him go up-tempo so you can't, you know, get your sub-packages on and off the field without a great amount of difficulty. You know, keeping him out there on the field as much as you can. Let's see some 12 and 13-play drives that chew up 4, 5, 6 minutes off the clock and never huddling. I think that's how you beat Houston. I really do. And then, of course, on offense, defensively, you know, the Patriots have to figure out a way to get some kind of pressure on Schaub. But to me, you got to stop Arian Foster. Foster may be the best all-round back in the league. He doesn't have tremendous breakaway speed, but the guy has got, you know, missability, I like to call it. He can make you miss him. He's a good stop, start, stop again, start again type of guy. He's got just enough power, even though he's somewhat undersized, and enough wiggle to make you miss. I think he's a solid back. Nobody saw that coming. He's good. And he runs behind an unbelievable offensive line. You know, the guy Brown at tackle is one of the best in the game this year. So, you know, I think you try to figure out a way to load up here. and see if you can make sure that Arian Foster doesn't beat you. Just, again, an initial impression of Houston. That doesn't mean, though, that Matt Schaub can't beat you with, with Andre Johnson, because you can. I mean, that guy's far from washed up. Still very, very good. And I think that'll be a concern for the Patriots secondary. But I think this also may be one of those games where you just say, okay, Akeem, here you go. You get 80. That's your guy. Stick with him. That might very well be the case. And then they load up, try to play, you know, 8 in the box maybe, and make sure that Foster doesn't beat you. And if you can do that, and then you can turn around and keep the ball, if you can keep the ball out of Houston's hands by ball control, then you're controlling the tempo, and then you're forcing Houston to be somewhat one-dimensional. If you can get the lead on Houston, and I know we'll discuss this more later in the week, you get the lead on them next Monday night, Houston is going to be less willing to pound and pound and pound away at you with a guy like Foster. They're going to have to go to the air. You make them more one-dimensional of an offense, you can make them more predictable, and therefore you can defend knowing that there's a reasonable certainty you know what's coming at you. That makes sense, right? It's what they do. Make them one-dimensional. Sounds like a simple thing. May not be quite that simple, but sounds like a simple thing. Gabe also sends this via Twitter. He says, is there a possibility of Jeff Demps playing at punt return with the loss of Edelman? No. Demps was put on injured reserve before the season started. So, no, Jeff Demps will not be back. He's not back at all this year. So that will not be an option. I guess it'll be McCourty. That's the only thing I can come up with. That's the only thing I can think of right now. Probably have to be McCourty. At that stage, I'm looking at the special teams personnel groupings from this week, and you could probably put Slater back there if you had to. And yeah, that's probably it. I don't know if Tavon Wilson has done that as well. B-Lo either.
Are we talking about punt returning?
Yeah.
B-Lo had an interesting tweet that so when Brandon Bolden comes back, he returned punts in the preseason.
You know what? That's I had forgotten that.
So, like, he could be an emergency.
I had forgotten that.
If he's healthy.
Bolden is able to come back this week, too, right? This is the end of his suspension. So we'll have Brandon Bolden back in the mix on offense. I think that's a great place to put him. You probably will allow, I'm guessing you'll probably allow Wes Welker to do it, right, or at least handle it primarily. But Bolden could certainly be an option. So I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Bolden taking almost all of the punt return snaps this week in practice. Good job by B-Lo to get that out there. Makes a lot of sense to me. Let's see. Do we have anything else here to clean up before we say goodnight on the day? Overall, I thought I had one other thing from Houston. I guess I don't have it. Okay. So that's what I was thinking then. Overall, the matchup clearly is it's going to be a special game. I know ESPN is drooling over this, you know, with Monday Night Football coming in. Always makes Sundays a little bit more difficult when you know you got to wait another 24 hours before you get a chance to kick off. So we thought we'd try to pace it somewhat this week, knowing that there's going to be full 3 days leading up, but then we got to wait another day until Monday. I just couldn't. Normally on Tuesdays, we deal very little with the upcoming opponent and sort of look back and recap and nitpick and do all the things from the last week and then talk about where we are as a team, as a franchise, as a contender at this stage of the season. And while we've done a little bit of that today, you can't let it go because the Houston Texans have been one of the top teams, if not the top team in the NFL all year long. You know, here's a franchise that had never made the playoffs before last year. They finally cracked the nut. Probably felt like they didn't get a fair shake because Schaub was at quarterback, was hurt most of last year. And yet they were still extremely competitive. And now Schaub has been able to stay healthy this year. Foster has been able to stay healthy for the most part. Andre Johnson. Offensively, they're efficient, if unspectacular. But they've scored a lot of points from time to time. I think they're right behind the Patriots in terms of scoring offense this year. So they certainly have been good enough. The defense has had its share of injuries, kind of like New England. but they have one of the best defensive linemen in the game in J.J. Watt. Playmaker. Havoc wrecker. I mean, he can do it all. Quarterback sacker. An outstanding player. And so when you bring, you know, elements like that on both sides of the ball, you can see why Houston's 11-1. And, yeah, they probably have a little sunshine blowing up their skirts as well. They've been fortunate. They've won a couple of games in overtime that they maybe should not have, but the breaks played out that way. And I would argue that good teams know how to make their own breaks. Tim says, Bolden was scary handling punts in the preseason, if I remember right. Didn't he put a couple on the ground? I think he put one on the ground, if I recall, Tim. But again, I would not be surprised to see him handling that in practice this week in Edelman's absence. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of Patriots Playbook. Thanks, everybody, for taking part today. Escal, Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly will be back in tomorrow. We're also going to try to dial up some of the Houston Texans folks to begin looking a little bit more succinctly at the matchup with the Texans tomorrow. And then, of course, we really jump into it. We're looking at the entire NFL picture and update the playoff scenarios on Thursday's show as well. But we're counted down. Monday Night Football returns to Gillette Stadium next Monday in an AFC showdown. Houston and New England. Fantasy stuff, fantasy football, guys, coming up next. Same patch time, same patch channel manana, kids.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.